Hey, React Roundup fans. I wanted to really quickly talk about the sponsor of today's episode, me. I'm Jamin Holmgren, co-founder of Infinite Red, an occasional guest on React Roundup. We are a small but experienced team of 30 US-based React Native consultants. We've been around since 2015 and have a lot of experience in React Native going all the way back to the beginning. If you're looking for expert help building, optimizing, deploying, and supporting a React Native app, I'd love to chat. Just go to infinite.red/React Roundup. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Roundup podcast so that we can keep supporting the show. Now, back to the episode.
Llevo una doble vida. Soy dos personas en una. En mi trabajo soy Peter, y en mi casa soy Pedro. Vanilla milkshake con Stephanie, y leche con chocolate caliente en casa de mi tía Norma. Soy dude y soy mijo. Soy WhatsApp y qué onda a la vez, rap y cumbia, fútbol y fútbol, de aquí para allá, de allá para acá. En el arroz con leche de mi abuela es donde todas mis personalidades se ponen de acuerdo. Real is back. Got milk?
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of React Roundup. This week on our panel we have Paige Niedringhaus.
Hey everybody.
Carl Mungazi.
Hello, hello, hello.
TJ Van Toll.
Hey, everyone.
I'm Charles Max Wood from devchat.tv. And this week we have a special guest. It's Majid. Do you want to just introduce yourself and let us know who you are and why you're important?
Hi, everyone. So my name is Majid. I am a software engineer based in Oslo, Norway. I am very important, I think. So, maybe for some people I'm very important, for some I'm not. But apart from like a joke, I do a lot of contribution to community, especially JavaScript and Dart community. And I try to share my knowledge and experience as much as I can. So by doing public speaking or writing or like blogging and those kind of things. So that's what I really like. Apart from that, I also organize a few meetups and several conferences, especially in JavaScript world. For example, NG Vikings, you may know or you have heard about it, or Mobile Era in Nordic countries. So I am very passionate about two particularly like world of development, JavaScript and Dart.
Nice. So you gave a talk at React Days Berlin, talking yes. about parallel computing in React.js. And you know, your discussion points talk about like web workers and stuff like that. Do you want to just give us sort of the 2-minute rundown of what the talk's about and the major points, and then we can dive in and get details?
Well, the idea of the talk came to my mind when I was actually implementing a lot of features in my recent project. And I figured out that there are lots of new APIs in the browsers, which helps us to improve and boost user experience. And in particular, actually in React, we can actually leverage using these APIs kind of avoid disrupting user by poor performance or janky frames on the browsers, right? So in particular, we have like web workers and a few new APIs like WebAssembly or Worklets or even Service Worker, which doesn't have directly something related to the main thread, but still it can improve something, which I had an example in my talk and I talked about it. People really liked it. So that was the whole things that I actually talked about in this talk, like these four different APIs in the browsers.
Very cool. So let's just start with the first one.
Yeah, sure. So the first one, which is probably the most underutilized one, is WebWorker. And WebWorkers are around for quite some time, so maybe 12 years or more, 10 years. It's been around for a while, and all the major browsers actually support it. But maybe many of us don't actually, cause it doesn't use it. So when I I gave this talk several times, and when I asked in the room, like, who is using web worker. Who knows the web worker? Like around 100% of attendees usually say, yes, we know. But you know, but when I ask, okay, who is using that in production? And like maybe less than 5%? So the reason is like we all know web workers. We know that they are cool, but there is something with web workers, the way that it is implemented, actually, the API via post messaging, you know, the post messaging API. So it makes it a little bit maybe difficult to work with. And so many of us try not to deal with it unless we really need it, you know, in the application. So that was the idea. So I started with the basic of the web workers, like what they are. So I'm not going to talk about it here because I guess like many of us, even our audiences like right now, they know. And probably they also know that it works via post messaging. Like you have this API, you send an object message to your worker thread and do something, and then you can get back another message and then deal with it in the main thread, right? But
hay tres tipos de personas escuchando este anuncio de radio. Uno, gente que ni siquiera ha escuchado que estamos sirviendo un vaso de leche. Esas personas viven con prisa, sin tiempo para nada. Dos, aquellos que escuchan cómo servimos la leche y ya la están visualizando en su mente. Son personas capaces de desacelerar y poner atención al mundo que los rodea. Tres, aquellos que ya tienen antojo por un delicioso vaso de leche. Si tú eres una de ellas, este anuncio de God Milk es para ti. Real enjoyment is back. Real is back. God Milk?
Unborn babies may kick their mother 30 times an hour, making moms wonder, is that a karate champion in there? Well, one thing she won't wonder about is finding a great doctor at one of our 65 convenient Bay Area locations, Stanford Medicine Children's Health.
When I found a new library actually done by Surma, developer advocate in Google, the library name called a Comlink, he actually re-implemented the way that we can use web worker. So it's pretty neat and easy. If you download the library and start using this library in your application, you're gonna have like a very simple API. I'll get to the API also, but then after using this API, you will get actually a promise. Very, very simple. So you directly talk to the worker thread and you have a promise. So you can simply wait, send something to this thread, call some kind of function and then wait for it. And then, you know, it's a very natural way of programming in JavaScript if you start using this library. And that's the reason. So I again started talking about these web workers with Comlink, because it gives you as a developer a pleasant way to deal with a worker thread and to implement in your application. So maybe I should explain two simple API of this library.
Yeah, I think a quick explanation would be good.
Yeah, okay. So when actually you have Comlink installed and instantiated, you get two functions. One is wrap function and another one is expose. You're going to use expose in your thread or your web worker JavaScript file, and you expose your function or your object, your services, like all of those functions that needs to be exposed to the main thread, right? And then you have the wrap function, which you will also wrap the web worker instantiation or the constructor actually in the main thread. And then with only these two, it's like maybe sufficient to start. So with only these two, then when you construct or instantiate this worker, then you get a promise with those services that you are exposing to the main thread. So you simply just call your method and then wait for the result, and then you can also do something with it. Like in particular in React, as I had an example. So I had an example actually in my talk. Let me talk about that. So I implemented a list of users, and on purpose, my list of user was around 3,000 like item, right? So I implemented like a sort array function in the thread And also I implemented like an animation in the main thread. So I showed to the audiences actually in my talk that when you call this sort array, and you want to sort this array by, for instance, age, user by age, you can get a list of 3,000 items sorted by age. You can do that in main thread, of course, but then it will block this main thread for a while because it takes time, you know? And then when you see actually the animation, when you were seeing the animation was blocked until you get the response in the main thread. While when I was actually calling the sort method in the web worker thread, the animation was working very smoothly, no problem, nothing blocked. You can interact with the app. And then once you get the response back from the main worker thread, you could simply set the state in React and then re-render all the like the list again and show whatever user asked for before, you know? So that was a very, very well-received example by user, because it's like a very... This is something that you deal with it in your daily work every day. You need this, you know?
Well, so actually that gives me, I have sort of a broader question, because I think I fall into the persona that you described at your talks of someone that I've known web workers for dealing with like tasks that you need really high performance for. So I'm sort of familiar with them, but I've never shipped them in a production app ever. And part of it is because like, to me, at least, and maybe you can tell me why this might be a wrong perception of like, I have always seen web workers as something I need. If I'm building something that's doing something really heavy in terms of processing, like I'm doing something where I'm like building an image manipulation map or doing something really hardcore, like running some super cool algorithms. But for the average, like banking, insurance, financial apps that I might work on in like a rank and file job, what are some like pragmatic ways where web workers could actually benefit, like say your average developer?
Like you said, you know, web workers and you haven't used it. So that's probably was also my case. I knew that I haven't used it. So because of many reasons, but these days, you know, sometimes when we have these heavy processing stuff, like you say, maybe an image processing or something, some developers even decide to just move this process to the backend instead of like this, doing this in front end, right? And maybe that is also a good solution, but think of it, 5 years ago or 6 years ago or 8 years ago, how browsers were working, and nowadays how they are working with the different APIs that they are providing to us with a lot of those improvements, which maybe because of the perception that we have in our mind from the previous, from the past, we still stick to it and we are not using that, you know? And also think of these days, mobile, the developing for mobile, like maybe a responsive website or, you know, particularly optimize everything for mobile. It's very crucial, right? We are all going for mobile. It's very, very important that we can, for the browser, when we are talking about like utilizing different options, including web workers, we are maybe one of our most important use cases is mobile optimization for our users. It doesn't matter what is your application. So is this a banking application or is anything else? As long as you are optimizing for mobile, which has a very maybe a low CPU or RAM, or you know, it is very important to optimize in a different ways in the browsers for these particular devices that users can feel like they should use application on the mobile very smooth. There should not be any difference between your mobile application, I mean not mobile application, mobile optimization of your website and the desktop version of it, right? So that brings us to the point now that we should think maybe differently nowadays. So even for very small things that probably we can do in main thread, but you know, many of those may block user to interact with the application immediately. maybe we should hold off those things to the worker threat, you know? Especially nowadays with a lot of improvement also on top of web workers by different APIs. Like let's imagine, we will get to it about WebAssembly and other stuff too, but you have also those other options. So you can also implement other things on top of web workers by different APIs, like maybe WebAssembly, for instance. You know, we should think, I guess, it's 2020, right? We should think a bit differently. So perhaps. But that's my opinion, though.
So I've got a point to pick back on TJ's point. I actually first came across Comlink when I heard a podcast where Dasoma was talking about it. And he spoke about how you could use it, for example, in a React application to handle your Redux store. So my question was, when it comes to, let's say, using Angular, React, Vue, all these frameworks, and then you can maybe do stuff like putting your state management in the worker, how does that work? Because when I first heard that, I was excited about it. But I thought, okay, cool. Now there's an option where if my store gets too big for some reason, I can actually offload some of that storage to the worker, as well as doing other logic on the worker as well. But in terms of juggling React, I've got Redux, I've got the worker, how could I make that work in an application?
Well, first of all, let me explain this way. So for instance, in Angular...
Honey, Bobby might get strep throat this season. Does sometime after Thanksgiving work for you?
Some things you just can't plan.
Sorry, November's bad. I have Maddie scheduled for the flu.
That's why we've built a network of Stanford pediatricians conveniently located all over the Bay Area. And while you can't always plan for when your kids need to see their doctor...
Mom, is it okay if I get pink eye next week?
It's nice to know we're close by. Stanford Medicine Children's Health. Access to excellence. Visit StanfordChildrens.org to find a pediatrician. Unborn babies may kick their mother 30 times an hour, making moms wonder... Is that a karate champion in there? Well, one thing she won't wonder about is finding a great doctor at one of our 65 convenient Bay Area locations. Stanford Medicine Children's Health.
Or many of these frameworks. So you may not necessarily use Comlink because they all have some sort of they own APIs for web workers. For instance, Angular has its own like support for web worker, or maybe React with a new APIs like Concurrent and those kind of things. But the thing is that when you say, how can we use that? Like, I don't see any difference between an Angular application or, like in this case, an Angular application and a React application, let's say, because they are, at the end of the day, they are a JavaScript, library, right? They just provide different APIs. And some developers like this one, some like Angular one, some likes maybe, I don't know, React. You know, different APIs for different developers to make our life a little bit easier when we develop the web application, right? So at the end of the day, they are JavaScript application. They are JavaScript framework, right? So we can use any library. So I don't see any like blocking point here that if you are using, for instance, this library, you are not able to use like Comlink, for instance. If I understood the question actually correctly.
Yeah, so I guess in your case, do you prefer using the inbuilt stuff for me, let's say Angular or Comlink? What's your preference then in terms of when you want to use web workers?
Well, when I came to the Comlink and I started using that, I guess I'm going to stick to the Comlink. The thing is that, first of all, the library is very tiny. I think it's after GZIP is like 1.1 kilobyte or something. Or even some like browser needs, for instance, if you need a polyfill for proxy, it adds maybe one more kilobyte, but it's a very, very tiny library. And the API is very simple. And I like the way that it promisify everything. So it is very easy to use like this promise apart from other APIs. You know, I think I like to stick on Comlink unless those APIs from the frameworks, they change also to, they have a similar API.
Cool.
Hey, I've got a question for you, Majid. Can you explain the difference between web workers and service workers? Because I've heard both. I've heard them used interchangeably, and I'd love to get a better understanding of which one is which.
Absolutely. First of all, let me explain this. The web workers, the service workers are a type of web workers. So essentially, service workers are like a JavaScript file that they run in a different thread and in background. And what they do is they act like a proxy in your application between the network and your application. What does that mean? That means you can intercept all the network requests in service worker, right? So, and they're great for doing things like caching or delivering push messages, for instance. So there are different actually caching strategy, which I have a full talk, like about an hour. And also I have a book about it, so which we can reference maybe to the chat. So you can go through it and read about these strategies, how these strategies help us to make our application offline. This is very, very cool. Or think of it like service worker. When we are talking about a proxy between your application and a network request, is that you intercept all the requests, right? So you send a request by maybe fetching an image, let's say, and then the request comes to service worker first. If you have a registered service worker, a JavaScript file, like as I explained, and then this is you now to decide, where should I get the response? Should I go to the network and ask from server about this, or should I go to the cache and respond? So, and here is, I think it's service worker are so powerful. Here is where you can actually manipulate the response. So that was an example which I gave in the talk. So imagine like 3 years or 2-3 years ago, there was not a support for WebP, like image extension, in many browsers. So a friend of mine actually created a WebAssembly version of a BMP encoder from C library, and then he added to the service worker. So he used WebP in the web page. But of course, WebP images cannot be shown on those browsers that didn't have support, right? So the solution was, okay, service worker. There was support for service worker though in all the browsers at that time. So it was a great time. So why not using service worker to intercept this request and then send it to this WebAssembly encoder? Get another type of image back, like a BMP maybe or something, or GIF, I think at the end he did, and respond a GIF version to the user. So user can see this image. This is fantastic. So imagine how powerful it could be, and also maybe dangerous. I mean, dangerous not in a bad way, because caching is always a challenge in software engineering, right? So we all know that. I'm thinking about caching when I say dangerous.
So I've got one related question. So when I've used service workers, my biggest problem with them is that debugging is occasionally kind of a nightmare because you are working on a separate thread. So I'm curious, as like, if you're advocating for moving more and more code into service workers, does that become, like, considering I haven't done any of this, does it make debugging trickier? Like, are the browser developer tools smart enough to say, like, if I'm running some algorithm in my bit of code, can I like jump over to the other thread and then jump back to continue sort of my step debugging sort of thing? I'm just sort of curious how that works.
Yeah, exactly. So very good question. So 2-3 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago, when PWA, Progressive Web Apps, and Service Worker were introduced, browser didn't have a very good support, maybe at that time. But nowadays, most of the browsers, especially Chrome, they have a very, very good support for debugging for Service Worker and WebAssembly also, because you can use WebAssembly also in Service Worker. So I think these days, this is not a big problem. Also, if you have, let me also mention this. If you have a concern of writing your own service worker and getting to a trap to debug or find out, okay, what's wrong right now, or how can I improve something in my service worker, there are also good solutions for that. You may have heard about Workbox.js. It's a library from Chrome team or Google. And what it does, actually, it does a lot of things. But the most important thing is that it generates service worker for you based on what you are telling to this library to do. So caching, for instance, you know that you should know the different strategies for caching in service worker. And that's not very difficult. You can go through it maybe in, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And then once you know, then you should go through the Workbox documentation and start learning the API for how I can use this strategy. Like, how can I use cache only strategy, or how can I use cache network only strategy, or something like that? And there for all of those strategies, there is an API in Workbox. So simply, you write your simple service worker file, and then Workbox helps you to generate your maybe very difficult and very complex, let's say, service worker file at the end of the day. So I strongly recommend you, if you are going to write your service worker file for your website or web application, start using Workbox instead of writing yourself, because that will help you when the service worker gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more complex. Then you will find out the power of using this library. There's also a bunch of logger and logging stuff in Workbox. You can enable them and you can find out, okay, where you can exactly see how you are interacting with your service worker, how fetch is working, how my network request is coming, what is the response, and those kind of things. It's very, very handy. There's also a bunch of plugins for Workbox that makes it even easier to generate other stuff, to handle maybe push notification or to handle different things.
So I had a question in terms of if I'm trying to get into this using workers, either service or web workers, what's the best way to approach it? So let's say I want to improve my application and have a much smoother UI experience. How can I decide which part of the application needs it? How do I go about maybe learning that and maybe having a concept to show to my team and trying to get buy-in from the managers and my coworkers as well?
Yeah, very good question. I explain you my approach. Like, this is what I do usually. I usually think that I'm customer, which I'm going to use this website. Right? Let's start using this website on a very low-performant device, maybe a very tiny mobile device or something, which I usually have at home. Like, I have a very old phone from maybe 8 years old, and then I start using the application. Wherever I see that the application is lagging or it blocks me to continue and work with the application, these are the places that I need to think about it. Like, how can I improve this? And I need to go and check which part of my application is actually blocking user to work with other part of the application. So I need to hold off those things to the workers. So,
honey, Bobby might get strep throat this season. Does sometime after Thanksgiving work for you?
Some things you just can't plan.
Sorry, November's bad. I have Maddie scheduled for the flu.
That's why we've built a network of Stanford pediatricians conveniently located all over the Bay Area. And while you can't always plan for when your kids need to see their doctor...
Mom, is it okay if I get pink eye next week?
It's nice to know we're close by. Stanford Medicine Children's Health. Access to excellence. Visit stanfordchildrens.org to find a pediatrician.
When you think about businesses like Allbirds or Skims that are selling through the roof... Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But what's often overlooked is the business behind the business that makes it all possible. For millions of businesses, that's Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, the home of the number one checkout on the planet. With Shop Pay, you can boost conversions by up to 50%, meaning fewer abandoned carts and way more sales. Whether your customers are scrolling online, strolling through your store, or browsing social media, Shopify ensures you're ready to sell wherever they are. It's no secret, businesses that want to grow, grow with Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/DAX, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/DAX to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/DAX.
This is usually what I do. So start with a very low performance device, like a mobile device especially, and maybe also, you know, I know that we may have a very high-speed internet, all of us, but when I'm trying to find out which part of the application I can improve, I usually threshold my internet to 3G, you know, and then I start using the application. And then that when I start using with those configuration like 3G and mobile device, then I see and I can feel it myself. Oh, this part is very, very lagging. So I need to think about it. You know, that is my approach. Usually I do. And it works pretty well.
Have you ever had any pushback from the team? Say maybe right now for us, performance is not a priority. And trying to navigate those discussions about when exactly actually spend time making the application performant. Because maybe it could be that it is important, but at the moment you've got X weeks to implement, but then you are trying to say, no, performance is part of that feature sets.
Absolutely. I think all of us has this situation at work. So especially when you are working in Agile, well, in maybe a startup, then they are forcing you to just give stuff out because they want to see it. They want to deliver it to the customer, right? And then you have less and less time to spend on your application to debug and find out or maybe improve the performance, you know? So I had definitely this situation. And I would say what we do then, what I try to convince my team usually is that, you know, we have a very high priority fixing issues for performance, and we have like nice to have features. Like high priority APIs are those that they give our user absolutely terrible experience, right? Let's say initial loading of the application, for instance. So if it takes 20 seconds to load the application, who is going to wait for that? Or 10 seconds, who is going to work? Who is going to wait for this application to be loaded? No one, right? You cannot like let the business come to you and say, no, we have to ship this. At the end of the day, they will come back to you maybe a month and say, okay, we are not selling. So I told you it's 10 seconds, so we need to spend time, right? So we should start convincing. We should start telling like business, hey, this is crucial to improve. We should spend time on it. We should fix this part. But then also we have maybe some part of application that, well, you click on something and then maybe for 3 seconds or 2 seconds, well, user cannot do anything. Well, maybe you can bear with it. Maybe it's a setting page. And well, of course, you can wait for it for the sprint that you have time to spend on this part and improve the performance. I think we should categorize these performance issues and then start fixing those that they are absolutely important for our customers and visitors to when they are coming to our website or web applications. Just I believe we should respect our customer. I am also a customer of millions of web pages, right? If I'm not treated very well, so I don't feel very well, right? So I should have the exact same feeling when a customer is coming to my website when I'm developing that. So I think that it is very important to give our user a pleasant experience. So this is very important, I guess, to my opinion.
Yeah, and I know something that's worked for me in the past is if you can put these sort of things in business terms as well, there are studies showing, you know, page load times, speed times actually improve business metrics, like click-through rates, you know, whatever it is your business is measuring. So sometimes you can approach it as a, like, if we spend a week on this, let's see if we can improve our, you know, don't necessarily, your manager, your boss's boss might not care about the user experience directly, but I'm guarantee you they care how many people click a certain button in your app that you really want people to get into some system. So oftentimes the incentive of making your app faster and the business's like end goal are usually in sync.
If you can plug some metrics into it, right? So you have some analytics that you put in, you do an A/B test, right? And then at the end of the day, it's not that much work to add in the web worker and have it take on, you know, the most expensive thing that's going on the page. A lot of times you can make the case that TJ's making just with a really quick example that only took you a couple hours to put in.
Yeah, make sure the email you send your boss has a lot of acronyms, like the CTRs are going to go through the roof and, you know, really, really business it up.
Mention Google Analytics while you're at it.
Well, yeah. if you can put up the theory, right, and put that stuff in. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you can put in dollars, right, this is dollars that we made that we wouldn't have made because it's loading faster now.
Yeah, it's the ultimate metric.
Yeah.
But you actually mentioned a very good point, always measure. So even when I'm talking about like web workers and, you know, WebAssembly and those kind of things, I mentioned, I think in my talk maybe a few times that always measure and make sure that what you are doing actually worth it, you know? So you just don't do it because you've heard that this is awesome, this is cool, you know? You should measure every time and every time that.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
It makes sense and you can measure it. Especially in this case for the business, like you mentioned, it is very good idea to turn the numbers to dollars, like you said. Measure, and you know, this is a loading time. We had these number of visitors, and then by doing this, which took me maybe a day, maybe by most, we increased the number of visitors to this number, which at the end is like maybe 10% of sales, or maybe increasement in the sales, you know, or something like that. This is very important to show to the business. If we can do this like continuously, they will believe in us, and then they will actually ask us even to spend more time to do this stuff. You know, this happened to me in my previous job. There was some blocking forces from the business side that you cannot do this. You should not spend time on this. Just deliver these features. And then at the end, we did some stuff, and then we measured and then send the report back to the business for a few times. And I think after a few months, I remember that the product owner came to us and said that, okay, we need to prioritize this optimization. This is very important for business to get the revenue higher at this, you know, season. So we were all shocked. So, okay, we will do for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting too, because you brought up the number of visitors, and the site speed is now taken into account by Google and other search engines. And so if you're doing any kind of search engine optimization, yeah, how fast your page loads and works is definitely a metric that they're looking at too. So it does affect not only your click-through rates or the effectiveness of your current traffic, but it also affects your incoming traffic as well from web from search engines.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So is there an easy way to get started with this stuff? I mean, you've mentioned the Comlink library a few times. Is that super approachable, or are there other ways to tie all of this stuff in that just make it a breeze?
Well, I think starting with Comlink is the best things that you can do, because it's very easy to start with. The API is very simple, and at the end, it's very familiar with what you are doing in a daily basis. So for web workers, I strongly recommend using this library if you haven't used that before. And compare it to, if you have done that also, compare it to what you've done and see like how easier and better is that, you know? Maybe you feel that, okay, this is fantastic, so I should maybe start using that after all, you know?
I had a question regarding WebAssembly and how it kind of fits into this world. And from your perspective, right now, what can I actually do in production with it, or is it not yet there?
Well, I think there are lots of WebAssembly examples nowadays on the web. Maybe some of these, like I think one of the best examples is Figma, if you know which software it is.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think they're using WebAssembly. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a very, very cool example of using WebAssembly. So I'm not a WebAssembly expert, but what I tried to explain in the talk was how easy you can start with WebAssembly. Because I can actually question right now, and you can answer. When I say WebAssembly, what is coming to your mind first? The first thing that it comes to your mind?
Gaming.
Bytecode?
Bytecode. C.
Exactly, C. Or maybe performance, right? Mm-hmm. It's fast. This is interesting because these are the things that we are exposed to our outer world. We are developers, right? We read blogs, we watch videos, and we are hearing about all of these things around us. Okay, C, WebAssembly only works with C, or no, maybe also works with Rust. You know, this is what I was interested about, and I talked about also, is that when I'm talking about WebAssembly, usually you are not going to try it because you say, okay, this is something with C. And, oh, I'm not a C developer, and I don't know even how to use C or how to start with C, right? So I brought it up in the talk and said, no, this is not the case. You have maybe simpler option to start with WebAssembly and start learning this at least, because it seems like this is going to be some kind of future. Like more and more games, apps, web apps are coming to web from different languages via WebAssembly. So we should know this, right? We should start learning this. And the language or the framework that I introduced was probably many of us also know right now is AssemblyScript. Have you heard about AssemblyScript? No. AssemblyScript actually is, it's more or less like a compiler. It compiles a strict subset of TypeScript to WebAssembly. So if you are familiar with TypeScript, and if you go and learn WebAssembly typing, then you are good to go. You can start writing your WebAssembly right now. So you can go to AssemblyScript, simply download it from NPM, and then initialize your project with one command only. You have everything. Start writing your TypeScript functions, but with WebAssembly typing. And then with one command, compile it to WASM. And you have a loader from this library. Very easy. Start like using your WASM file or instantiate your WASM file into your main application. I had an example of a very simple example, which may not have a real even use case, but I wrote a function in both WebAssembly and JavaScript in the React application. And the function was supposed to calculate the Fibonacci number, right? So, and I passed a very high number. So I ran it with WebAssembly, and I also ran it with the JavaScript one. This is when exactly when I say that we need to measure. I measure it, and the WebAssembly version, when it was executed, it was 7 times faster, and it was very surprising. There was no optimization for the function, though. Exactly the same, but different implementation in WebAssembly and JavaScript. Then, when I ran it for the second time, the function, then it actually, the execution time was exactly the same. So why? I mean, people ask me in the room, like when I was talking, why is that the case? So we thought that WebAssembly is going to be faster and also be faster always. And that is true. If WebAssembly executes something in one particular, let's say, time, it is also stay in that time forever. If you execute this function, you probably get the same performance or same number every time you execute. So, but in JavaScript, for the first time, because there was no optimization from VM for when you are running this function, then of course it takes a little bit longer. But then the second time, when you execute it, there was optimization in VM, right? Like in V8 JavaScript engine. Then the time was pretty similar. So that is when we have to ask, okay, should I actually take this part of the application right now to WebAssembly or not? That is the question we should ask. So this is also we discuss in the talk and in the FAQ section of the talk. Like, use cases are very different. So you need to think about your use cases and then measure it and see if it works for you. That was the use case for WebAssembly. I think it was fun. It was fun in this case that you know that if the WebAssembly runs in a performant way or line, it will stay in that line. It is always performant if it runs on that level. So while JavaScript, it tries to optimize itself, let's say. It was an interesting finding.
So from a developer perspective, if you have WebAssembly code, does it... So it certainly sounds like you can just designate a chunk of your code that I want this to be like in WebAssembly, whether that's with assembly script or whatever. When you run the bulk of your application code, is that just like a synchronous call into WebAssembly land to like do some task and get a result? Like, how does like the API experience compare to like web workers?
So if you want to instantiate with the browser API a WASM file, it's a bit of work. So I'm not going to explain that. And then why I'm explaining assembly script, though, because it simplifies those APIs into only one API, which is a promisified version of that. So you have your WASM file after you compile. You can use this loader actually without using assembly script. You can use just assembly loader from assembly script. Then when you instantiate this WASM file, it's just one line of code. There is one function in the assembly script loader. You pass a promise version of, or let's say you pass a fetch function, which is fetching the WASM to this function, and then it instantiate those. It will actually do all of those things that needs to be done in the browser, and then it exposes to you the method that you already exported in WebAssembly or assembly script. Sorry, or if you have done it already in other languages, you already exported some function, for instance, to be accessible in the JavaScript or main thread, right? So you will get access to that. So it's that easy.
And then you can just use those functions as if they're like any other JavaScript functions. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. You just call those functions whenever you want.
Nice.
There are lots of examples with assembly script right now. So you can go and find out, like, people wrote games purely in assembly script, or there are a lot of different encoders or decoders for images or audios or those kind of things that they are available as a plugin, and you can use that. So there are cool stuff that you can probably download and experiment with. I strongly recommend it, especially as a web developer who you are. We usually, you know, in a daily basis, we usually work with JavaScript, TypeScript, you know, or so if we can have a tools similar to what we are using, it's fairly easier to start learning these new technologies, right? So sometimes we kind of stop ourselves from learning because it's way different from what we are using in a daily basis. And I like those tools that are helping us to bring these familiar APIs to us. And I really like them.
Nice. So one other question that I have is, I'm assuming that your web workers or your assembly script or anything else, you know, as you put the stuff together, it's just calling functions. So testing is just like testing any other piece of JavaScript, right?
Exactly. You may need to like mock some API or something, but testing is like similar with other JavaScript testings. We also missed another things, which probably I need to talk about it a little bit. Worklets. Any of you actually have heard about Worklet before?
I have not.
No. So I've heard about it, but only in the context of CSS Houdini.
Yeah, because that is the most available one at the moment.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it, because that is going to be something very cool in the near future, maybe this year. So many, many browsers are implementing Worklets APIs. So what is Worklet? Or what are worklets? Worklets are a light version of web workers again. So you see that many of these APIs, new APIs, are evolving kind of on top of web workers. So let's talk about it. So what do they do, like these worklets? The main point of having worklets is to have access to very low-level part of the rendering pipeline in the browser. What does that mean? Well, that means you can have access to the graphic rendering or audio processing.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
Of the rendering engine pipeline in the browser, which is very, very performant because it's very, very low level. Okay, so give me an example, Majid. Okay, I'll give you an example. The example is, let's imagine you want to implement a QR code painter, and you want to actually repaint this QR code whenever user is interacting with some kind of input or button or something, right? with Worklets, what you can do, you can write your own JavaScript to design this QR code, for instance, and then register it with, I'm talking about one particular example of Worklet, which is CSS Houdini, as you mentioned, Carl. And you register this with CSS Paint API. Once you register, then you have access it via CSS. So then you can call this function actually in the CSS, and you can start repainting this whenever you call this function. So I had an example in the talk. So and also I have it live on my website that you can interact with this QR code without bothering the main thread, because that is, like I said, it's kind of on top of the web workers. So it's a different thread. So it's dealing with this painting, even though you have, like in the example that I had an animation, it was working, and I was actually repainting this QR code. It was very complex and very fast, and there was no blocking, nothing in the main thread. So the animation was working very smoothly while I was working with this repainting and stuff. This is going to be very, very powerful in the future. You can think of it. What can you do? You know, a lot of use cases that you may think of it. Another simple example, very simple example, was to paint a chess or checkboard a background. So, well, we can do it different with the different ways, but one way that you can do, you can actually write your own JavaScript to generate this a checkboard and register your JavaScript with CSS Paint and then call this to the body, for instance, with background and the name of this CSS Paint. And then you will get this checkboard in the background, which is actually rendering in a different thread. So this is very powerful, very, very interesting. But unfortunately, many browsers right now don't support it. CSS Houdini or Paint Worklet, it has a better support in the different browsers. That's why we are hearing about this API more and more. But other worklets, we have four different worklets. We have Paint, CSS Houdini, as I've just explained, Animation, Layout, and Audio worklets. So, but the rest they don't have a good support. It's only Chrome, I think, right now, or maybe Edge new version, because it's also based on the Chrome. But the rest of the browsers, they don't have a good support for these APIs. But what I know is that they're working on it to make these, or to put this API into their browsers very soon, maybe this year. So we should be ready for these APIs very soon.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, totally cool.
More stuff to play with.
Although, I had a question, because when I last heard about Houdini, the way that it was explained was it's going to be most likely used by authors or frameworks and libraries, and less so by your average developer. I mean, from my experience, and what you know, is that true, Amajit?
Well, I disagree somehow. First of all, we are all awesome developers, all of us. So I don't think there is a difference. We all can use this API. So, well, we at some point, we all of us can be a a library maintainer, right? We can also write our own library. So why you should not use this API? No, you have to use it. You will get, actually, you will see a lot of use cases for these APIs. So I think we should learn it, because it's very, very beneficial for us.
Very empowering.
Yep. Anything else we should jump on before we do picks?
I can maybe add one thing, is that don't scare of the new APIs and just experiment and work with them. It is very important. If you are especially a front-end developer, let's say, or a JavaScript developer dealing with browsers these days, you have a lot to take on. It's a lot to learn. But at the same time, it's a lot of fun. You know, a lot of cool things that we were not able to do in the past, but now we are able to do. And it's so empowering. So just use it and experiment.
Awesome. All right, well, let's go ahead and do some picks. TJ, do you want to start us off with picks?
Sure. I've just got one. There's this farm. I'm actually not sure where it is, but they've started up this service called Goat to Meeting. And it's essentially exactly like the name implies. Basically, you can pay and this farm will bring a goat into a Zoom call for you, essentially. And they have a rate they charge for this a goat to show up. And I think actually a more interesting thing is they do something along the lines of classrooms tours. So like if you had like a class of kids that isn't at school now, you could arrange a Zoom call for a class and they'll give you a tour of the farm just digitally, just to give kids something to do that are probably, if they're anything like mine, going a little bit stir crazy having been inside for a few weeks at this point.
Oh, that might work. Yeah, for my kids. I was thinking people were just Zoom bombing anyway, so.
I think they'll take either you could just have a goat show up or I don't know. Interesting new like economics like opportunity from this situation.
Nice. That reminds me, I talked to a guy that runs, is it Goat Milk Stuff, I think? But anyway, they make like soaps and food items and all kinds of stuff out of goat's milk. This is a legit business. But yeah, it was pretty interesting to talk to them and see kind of how they run things with. So I'll throw a goat pick in too. I haven't tried any of their stuff. So, but Jim's a good guy. Anyway, Carl, do you have some picks for us?
Yeah, the only pick that I've got really is what I referenced earlier, the podcast where Daz Soma, I think his name is, spoke about Comlink. And he spoke about it in kind of depth, how to use web workers in your application, as well as potential use cases for handling your state management as well. So that's the pick I'm going to choose today.
Awesome. Paige, do you have some picks for us?
I do. My first one is completely unrelated to anything that we've spoken about. It's actually the DJI Phantom 4 drone. Since none of us can really go anywhere, this might give you the feeling that you're actually at least getting outside a little bit by flying this drone from your driveway or your porch or something. It's great. It's really one of the best ones I've seen, even for people who are not very proficient at flying drones, myself included. I haven't managed to crash it yet, so I would say it's a really good starter drone if you've got a little bit of money to spend right now. Second pick would be the show Ozark on Netflix. It's in its third season, just came out, and it's a great one to binge watch through because there's a lot of stuff happening from moment one. And you know, as soon as the episode ends, you just can't wait to see what's going to happen next.
Awesome. I've got a couple of picks. One of the first picks I have, I found this stopwatch app for my iPhone. And what I was looking for, just to kind of give people an idea. So I've gotten rather involved in the Utah County Republican Party, and all of the county officials here in Utah County are Republican. So if you want to say, you kind of have to go to the convention. Otherwise, you're just kind of voting in the primary ballot and then voting in the general election. And whoever, by then, they've already been picked. So I've gotten involved early and somehow I wound up running the debate. And so I needed a stopwatch or a timer on my phone that would count down, but it had to be in landscape mode so that I could put it on a tripod in front of my camera so that the candidates could see it. And it's surprisingly difficult to find one. So I did wind up finding one. I was super happy with it. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes because I can't remember exactly what it's called right now, but that just made me happy. Another one I'm going to pick is I have this tripod. It's a Rift G tripod. It's really small. It'll sit on your desk. And then it has the phone's spring-loaded attachment on top that I pulled off of a selfie stick that I have never used. And so, yeah, I'm really liking that. So I'm going to pick that. And then finally, I've been working on getting the word out for JS Remote Conf. That's going to be in May, and Carl's going to be speaking at it. I'm looking for sponsors, so if you work for a company that might want to sponsor, I would appreciate that. But besides that, I've been playing with Canva as a way to get all of my social media images together, and you can just build a template, and then I can just literally go in and put different text in for the talk title and the speaker and the, you know, their headshot and the whole nine yards. And so I've been working on getting that stuff together to play with. And so I've been pretty happy with that. So those are kind of things that have made my life a little bit better these days. And then I also just want to shout out about our meetups. Paige has agreed to speak at our next React meetup, and that's going to be, as we record this in a couple weeks, I'm not sure about the timing of this coming out, but I'm planning on doing this for the next several months, just because even if they start sending people back to work and, you know, we can kind of get back to normal without getting all the way back to normal, you know, we're still taking precautions for people's health. I think conferences and meetups are just going to be in a weird spot through the end of the year. And so I'm hoping to run these meetups and give people a place to go. So you can go to devchat.tv/meetup and that will list all of the upcoming meetups. I'm doing it for JavaScript, Angular, Vue, React, and Ruby at this point. If somebody wants to help me run some of the other ones for some of the other shows, I am happy to work on that as well. I guess I'm going to throw one last thing out, and that is that I am putting up, as we speak today, the React Native remote conference. So I've had a lot of people asking about that. Chain React got canceled, so I just basically stole their dates at the end of July. So if you're interested in speaking, we'll have a CFP open. And if you want to come, you can buy a ticket. And yeah, we'll just kind of move ahead that way. Majid, what are your picks?
I think I'm going to pick a book called Deep Work. You may have heard about it.
Good book.
It's called by Carl Newport. So it is an amazing book. I read it like maybe 3 years ago when I was in a different country, actually, not in Norway, and it had a big impact in my life. So I still use those methods and I still follow those rules. And I think I could have done a lot more after reading this book. So I strongly recommend recommend reading this book, especially those parts that he is talking about shallow work and deep work and what is the difference. And you will figure out that like most of the time in a day, even at work, we may actually doing shallow work and not deep work. And that's why we always think that why I cannot get these things done, you know. So strongly recommended, Deep Work by Carl Newport.
Yeah, that's a terrific book. Majid, if people want to reach out to you or get in touch, ask you questions, get involved in the conferences you organize, anything like that, how do they do that?
I am very active on Twitter with my handler, MHADAILY. So, and also you can find me on LinkedIn. So I think the best place to reach me out is on Twitter. My message is open. You can always send me a message. I read all the messages and I try to answer all of them. So I get a lot of messages and emails, but I may be a little bit slow to respond, but I definitely respond. So reach me out with this handler on Twitter.
All right, very cool. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks to our panel. Thanks again, Majid.
Thank you.
Until next time, max out, everybody.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.